Live from Vault 69, it's the Geek Show.
Tony, you're not allowed to make those jokes.
I did it. I made it.
Oh, you can have the majesty of the eclipse. Experience this, the majesty of a full panel Geek Show. Hit it, Tony.
Yeah.
Already in the chat, people want to talk about X-Men 97 and Fallout.
Well, so no, that's X-Men 97. I'm sorry, we're going to do it in the after party because we'll go into detail in the after party. We're
going to do spoiler free talk about that and Fallout toward the end of the show, but I think in the after party we'll go complete spoilers probably.
Full spoiler.
Maybe.
According to the no official Vault 69 exists, but according to the Penny Arcade
that you know of
comic, the social experiment was one man and a creative puppets.
That makes sense.
I have a theory. If Vault 101 exists, Vault 69 has to exist.
Right.
Numbers wise.
That's true. All right.
But each one's its own social experiment.
He's done the research. He's Lee George Cade, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to the vault where everybody's name is Lee George Cade.
That's the social experiment.
We sure like corn.
Quad T, Too Tall Tony is here as well. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Welcome to the vault where we just play video games.
They wouldn't do that.
So it's just all VR all the time.
Yep. Rebecca Frost is here. Hello. Hello.
Don't look up Vault 34.
Ooh.
What?
All kinds of weird stuff in there.
Whoa. Tony gets it.
Oh. Okay.
If you don't know, Rule 34 means there's a porn parody version of everything that exists.
Oh. All kinds of weird stuff. Super mutant stuff. Ghoul stuff.
That's true.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Super mutant.
There's not going to be any Planet of the Apes TTRPG news, Gavin. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Robert Neal is here. Hi, Robert.
Lee George K. Jingleheimer Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
And returning champion, God damn it, Sarah. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Fallout
bench warmer.
That's why she's here, our Fallout expert.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for the generous. I don't have a vault. I'm a surface dweller.
And Sarah, it's not bench warmer. It's field reporter.
Yes.
Field reporter. Oh, I love that. Thank you.
The specialist.
Maybe the specialist.
The surface is where it's at. According to our host, Carrie Jackson.
Yes, because the surface is where it's at because that's where I am. And I am where it's at. Monday through Friday.
Carrie,
he has two turntables and a microphone.
You are like so far up Mount Doom on the surface. Like
he's on Black Mountain.
He's on Black Mountain.
Whatever the opposite, the direct opposite of a vault.
Believe me, it's White Mountain. Trust me. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com.
Carrie last week was talking about all of his white friends on the mountain.
There's a white family down the street that I like.
I see white people. They're everywhere.
Their last name's White. Anyway,
that's just Utah, sweetie.
I know.
True.
We are gonna talk about Fallout and all that stuff, but quickly let's get things started with some trailers that were released this week. And I know Rebecca Frost very excited about this first trailer.
Unfortunately, I am hyped. I am seated. I am so excited. I wish I knew what happened.
I'm glad you are. That's nice.
Do I have to watch the first one to get it?
The thing about this movie, before this trailer came out, I sent out a tweet to the world and I said, I have a feeling deep in my bones that this movie is going to be one of my favorite movies of the year because it's going to make everybody who loved the first one absolutely hate the second one.
Yes.
I get that feeling because, as we know, Hollywood does not like to let you know that you're going to a musical. They like to trick you. And this trailer is certainly doing that because we know that there are about 15 jukebox songs that have been licensed for this movie. It's Joker 2, Folie à Deux.
Ha Ha Land?
Ha Ha Land is pretty good.
Oh, I like
that.
They
stole that from Twitter. I can't take credit for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's Ha Ha, J-A-J-A.
So
go watch the trailer. They unveiled a look at it at CinemaCon this week, and Todd Phillips was there. And here's what he had to say when they asked him about the musical aspect of it. Now listen to the listen to this Hollywood bullshit double
speak. Jabroni.
All right.
Jabroni.
We never talked about it like that. I like to say it's a movie where music is an essential element. To me, that doesn't veer too far from the first film. In the first film, Arthur has a music in him, and he has a grace to him.
Oh,
fuck
no.
You,
blah,
Todd.
Blah,
all right?
No. Those are different things.
Making Hangover movies, Todd.
That's calling bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Is that guy always masturbate in public?
Or I know. Just anyway. Anyway, it opens October 4th, so...
I will be there.
And
just in time for my B-Day.
And you know what, Lee, I know why you're hesitant to see the first one, but you got to admit, Joaquin Phoenix is
Joaquin
really...
Phoenix.
Okay, so wait a minute. So actually, I have a question there.
Joaquin
Lee,
Phoenix.
Why? Yeah, why are you?
Because all the douche bros came out of the woodwork immediately screaming about, I love screaming about how much I love this movie and everything else is stupid, Snyder Cut. They ruined it for me before I even had a chance to care. Also, I am so burned out on the Bat Family right now.
Well, lucky for you, there's no Bat Family in this one.
No, but I mean everything Batman related. I'm at terminal. The only thing I'm excited about is the Bat Family cartoon. That's a sequel to Have Yourself a Merry Little Batman.
Oh, that was a fun movie.
Which former Geek Show panelist Eric Hunter is a background lead on.
That's true. Yeah. The world's dirtiest Mormon, Eric Hunter.
I was a comedian when the first Joker came out, and the masses of self-gratifying male comedians who like identified with that movie at the time. Horrendous view.
Yeah. I don't think that boggles my mind, because that's like people I see that identify with Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, the whole conversation.
He's a bad person. You're not supposed to.
Like Walter White, Rick Sanchez, the Joker.
The Empire.
The Empire. They are not the heroes. They are bad people.
Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
I was just going to say Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Yeah.
They are bad people, but if you're like, you know, Succession is filled with, there's nobody there to root for, but you watch it because of the great performances. And,
Same with Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, there's no one to root for.
No.
I almost root for Charlie.
No.
Yeah. Charlie doesn't know
just
better.
It's his naivete and his brain damagedness that I'm just like, oh, little buddy, you can do it.
The other thing we got this week was it's like 2.5 to 3 minutes of Star Wars Outlaws. No gameplay, but more setup as to what you're going to get as far as the story goes. So that's August 30th for that.
I'm excited.
Looks interesting.
My husband, he's like, I'm so excited, but I'm also so worried. And I said, why? Is it because she woman? And he went, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, because he
of a worried for her and
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, he knows how the zeitgeist is, right? And I mean, we've seen it with a Fallout poster this week as well. Just like, why can't women be sexy and incapable, huh?
I was reading some of the criticism that the Chinese audience is having of Three Body Problem, where they're upset that the main character isn't sexy enough. And Carrie, there is a wild article about Chinese perception of Three Body Problem.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because it's banned in China.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The TV series is.
The book's from China.
Yes, but they open with the Cultural Rebellion in the 1960s. And the author had to move that to the middle of the first book because they were afraid it wouldn't get past the censors.
Oh.
they're like, if I put it in the middle, they'll never catch it because they'll
never
read the first couple chapters.
Sneak it in there.
Yeah.
All right. And then the other trailer that we got, and I'm not encouraging you to go and see this trailer. I'm just warning you about it. Maybe if you enjoy car crashes, that's the kind of thing.
I do. It's,
you know, because as I was watching Lord of the Rings the other day, I thought to myself, you know what would make this better? If it was a musical.
Well, it is a musical.
I have three words for you, Carrie. Rogers the Musical.
Yeah. Well, that was funny, though. This is trying to be serious.
I know, but it's trying to be serious in universe, so...
You guys, it's okay. I'm sure it's fine.
I thought you meant real car crashes. I'm less excited about this now.
Lord of the Rings, the musical. It's the U.S. production starts July 19th, runs through September 1st in Chicago.
Okay, here's the thing, though, Carrie. This is already a show in the U.K.
In London, yes.
And it's successful enough that they are bringing it over to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And yet you doubt...
Yeah.
There's not enough culture here. That'll fly in the UK.
Yeah. Rebecca, but things are more interesting when Terry dissents. Sorry.
Is it? Okay. I'm against it then.
I judge most cultures on their food, and I've had British food, so I'd say their musicals suck.
Take that, fish and chips.
Those two things correlate.
Wait
yeah.
a minute. You got I love them. Fish and They're chips.
Related. But also, as evidence, I love curry, and Bollywood is fantastic.
Yes.
That's all English. What are you talking about?
I've told the story before. We were first time in London. We were checking in the hotel, and we said to the concierge, "We want to eat where you eat. We want to eat the local cuisine." And he goes, "Oh, you don't want that, mate. No, no. there's an Indian place down the street that I recommend." Anyway, all right, let's do a little housekeeping, and then we'll get to the rest of the news. Lee George Cade, how did that doctor's appointment go?
I only cried for like 2 hours afterwards.
That's the shortest time yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because I only cried for like an hour after X-Men 97. So I really did. My wife was amazed. She's sitting there crocheting on the couch, and then my kid and I are like sobbing openly.
Oh, no.
She looks up and goes, "What are you two whining about?" And we're like, anyway. I got my final surgery consult with Dr. Handsome. That's his name.
Dr. Handsome. Handsome.
Yeah. My wife says his name might be Dr. Dreamy Eyes, but I think it's Dr. Handsome.
There you go.
But anyway, he told me I knew I had the one like the umbilical hernia that's like the size of a little orange sticking to my belly button. Yeah, they won't do the swimsuit shoot until after that's taken care of.
No,
turns out I have like six more little ones because when they had
got
me
a belly
open,
full of clementines.
Yeah, when they had to open up my entire abdomen for 2 days to keep my internal organs from rupturing. They stitched me back together, and because of all the swelling, the stomach lining didn't really do what it was supposed to do. So. The joy is on May 2nd, I'm going in and they're going to have to take out my gallbladder and fix
belly full of clementines.
Yeah. And the only way to do that is to reopen the original incision.
Oh my God.
All the way down. So anyway, you guys won't be seeing me for a few days after that.
There it is. That's the Venmo right there. You can help this.
I'll be drunk.
This spelunking, you know, that is going to be happening to Lee George Cade.
At least the surgeon's handsome. That's all I can say.
They're just going to get in there with a stapler and just start going nuts. Close.
No, they're going to
go
I
in
think
there.
I think we're missing an opportunity here, though. Because this is the perfect opportunity to remake Fantastic Voyage and use you as the subject.
They only have old Martin Short goes in.
I saw that episode of Rick
in.
And Morty.
I want Interspace right. anyway. 2 and Martin Short's in my guts and... there will be staples, but the good news is they're cutting out the original scar.
Interesting. So it should be a nicer scar when it's done?
Yeah.
So who's Simba going to fight then?
Right.
I wish they could do that with my scar, because, boy.
Just tell him you got a bunch of hernias that need to come out. A
bunch of oranges.
Look for the Venmo on our social medias and send the money directly to Lee. He has insurance, but as we all know, the American healthcare system will... make you poor.
So cool.
Yeah. Geekshow.store still up and running, and we like seeing our logo out in the wild on your bodies. So go there and participate.
I have a pink shirt.
Oh,
you do?
I do. I hear that Fashion Doll shirt is going to be leaving us soon.
Nobody will tell me who I call to make that happen. I don't understand. Anyway, also our Patreon, Geek Show Got This Covered, where you get. All kinds of wonderful things. We got some more Time Closet videos coming your way this week, I promise. The Space Show gets there early, and maybe Robin Lee will do something tabletop-wise.
Oh, it's coming.
Okay. After-party access, et cetera.
It's the after-surgery Geek Show tabletop.
But then you get the show after this show, which is exclusive to our Patreons. And it's one price. It's not tiers. It's one price. It's tree-fitty. That's it.
Tree-fitty. You can tree do tree-fitty.
Tree-fitty. All right. Let's get to the rest of the news. The sad news that we just got yesterday. Yes, exactly. Star Trek Lower Decks is going to end with season 5.
Pour one out for Rebecca and Gary.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between Strange New Worlds, though, and Lower Decks, I'm glad we're getting more Strange New Worlds.
You know what,
I like that one a little more than Lower Decks.
So I saw somebody say this, and it didn't really resonate with me until I saw someone say it. On Strange New Worlds, they're not even going to the Strange New Worlds. They're pretty much not going to Strange New Worlds, like, in that whole show.
I can only think of one. The one when
exactly.
where they went to number one. Her civilization is from, or yeah. went to, or whatever.
So, Lower Decks ends with season 5, and Strange New Worlds has been renewed for a 4th season.
Like, yay, but...
It makes me sad.
The good news being that they can really only do 7 more seasons of Strange New Worlds before they have to deal with Pike.
That's true.
They can do some timey-wimey stuff.
Mitch.
Change it.
Yeah. You're not allowed to be mean to him.
They already tried the timey-wimey stuff, but the only timey-wimeys are Klingons, and you don't deal with their timey-wimey.
Anyway, CinemaCon happened this week.
No, oh, it's cinema. Oh, this time I thought it was cinnamon.
CinnamonCon?
I was like, that is a lot of...
The cinnamon con.
I thought it was Skinemacon.
That would
oh,
be
no.
better.
Tony.
But,
I don't want to go there.
You know, I'm...
It's probably safer.
There was a lot that happened, and I'm going to keep it spoiler-free. They showed footage of the new Alien movie.
Oh, yeah.
Disney Princess.
Yeah, I read the description of it, and I'm excited. It sounds like they... It sounds like they've cracked the code on the xenomorph. And
really?
Yes. Okay.
I can't watch it.
Swimming in water and stuff. Anyway.
No. We've seen that.
Scary?
Not the the facehugger swimming in water.
Oh.
Coming up.
No.
Like how
no.
crabs. Have you seen how crabs swim in water?
No. I'm from Maryland. No. Tell me how they swim.
Let me crab-splain to you, Rob.
Yeah, crab-splain.
You ever seen a crab on your ceiling getting ready to attack your face?
Yeah.
You ever spiders. Seen a crab smoking a cigarette, carrying yeah. a knife, offering to sell you burned CDs?
Yeah, Inner Harbor. Duh.
Yeah. But
Robert's like, oh, you know Liam too.
But Feige showed up from Marvel Studios, and he showed a good 5 minutes of the new Captain America movie, Captain America 4, which is no longer New World Order. It's called something else. Let me see if I can find it. Brave New World. Thank you. And they showed like 5 minutes of it, introducing Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross.
I cannot wait.
Did you hear what they did?
Did
they do it in the clip that you saw about acknowledging that he's not John Hurt?
Yeah, it was. It's in. They haven't released the footage. That was just for CinemaCon, but there are descriptions for people who were there. And apparently, there's a bit where Sam says to him, "Well, you look different without the mustache."
Nah.
And he said, "I had to do that to get elected."
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited for the press tour because one, Harrison Ford is so cranky all
yes,
of the time.
Yes.
But he's also Anthony Mackie seems to also be pretty cranky about
really?
This whole movie. Oh yeah. Like he's Ooh. Pretty he was pretty vocal about how like disappointing it is that Sebastian Stan isn't in this movie because they've built up this whole relationship between Falcon and Winter Soldier, and he's not even present in
what?
This new
Tell
movie.
It to your therapist. You should be supporting
are you
the movie
Are you telling
in.
Me, Sarah?
No. I'm telling it to him. Sorry, Rebecca. But you can do that, too. But he
Don't,
needs
well,
to tell it to
I have
therapist.
A theory there, though, and they may not have brought Mackie in on this, because at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier, they were okay with each other. They still were not best friends, but they were okay. But now that they've made Sam Captain America, Bucky is going to the Thunderbolts. I'm wondering if they're keeping them separate to allow for some kind of conflict.
Forbidden romance?
Oh,
or
conflict.
Forbidden romance.
Well, because
six of one hand to the other on the other. Yeah.
Because part of the plot of this is the president, Harrison Ford, Thunderbolt Ross, says to Sam, I want you to try to get the Avengers up and going again. That's part of the deal. But also in this is there was a scene with the first Captain America, Carl Lumley.
Nice.
Yes, Isaiah Bradley is back.
That's awesome.
And, and I'll just say, for those who know what the Manchurian Candidate is,
Yay.
that kind of thing happens here in the scenes that were shown.
Oh, dip. Yeah. They also released the Thunderbolts title of the movie. Super interesting. Makes me curious to see more. It's Thunderbolts asterisk. Like, there's a specific asterisk at the end of Thunderbolts. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean?
Name subject to change.
The other the other thing that they brought was about 9 minutes worth of Deadpool and Wolverine.
9 minutes? Yay. I feel like that's a lot.
They showed that's quite a bit.
More than six.
They also, not during the Marvel panel, but during the Disney panel, they showed like 35 minutes of Inside Out, too. Like, they showed a whole third of the movie. Yeah.
What the freak? Mm-hmm. So the thing about the Deadpool Wolverine footage is, again, go online for the spoilers that were in it. Quite a bit of change. And as we saw in the Super Bowl commercial, the Time Variance Authority shows up. And... yeah, you go online and you spoil it for yourself if you want. I'll just say that.
I'm not doing that. No way, Jose.
I'm going to leave it out. But what happened was, is usually the Marvel Fair is family friendly for CinemaCon. Feige got up there and swore like a sailor, apparently.
Oh. I'll show you Disney knows how to curse.
Kevin Feige.
Yeah,
I'd do it if I could.
Kevin
Effin' Feige. You think you can challenge me? I saved cinema.
There was also a joke about how the Deadpool Wolverine popcorn bucket will be more perverse than the Dune one.
Oh, so, sorry.
It's just going to straight up be a butthole on the top now.
I mean. Some people are claiming that they've seen them now, and I doubt they're real. But
I don't think they're...
The screw out mouths on the mock-ups, the fake mock-ups that I think they're fake, that I saw this morning made me laugh so damn hard, because it's like, the popcorn goes to the top of the head, but then the mouths open up and they're like...
Oh my God.
If anyone would do it, it would be Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
sure.
That's true. Sure. Anyway, other news that we got. Rebecca's going to review Godzilla and Kong coming up, but Monarch got a second season.
Yeah,
Monarch
excellent.
Legacy of the Monsters.
You don't need to watch the show to understand Godzilla X Kong colon a new empire.
Is there an asterisk anywhere in there?
You're a hater.
This should be. Sarah, I can't wait to talk about it. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk about it.
I'm surprised it has anything to do with colons.
We'll find out.
It says here, according to Apple TV press release, they struck a new multi-series deal with Legendary Entertainment, which includes a second season of Monarch Legacy of the Monsters, which means you're going to get a spin-off series based on this franchise. You're going to get more
necessary
monster shows.
Yes, it is necessary, Lieutenant
Monarchs.
Commander Frost.
Monarchs, Monarch the series is better than any of those stupid monkey lizard movies.
It was really good.
I will back that.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's see. Oh, and then the other, this was interesting as hell to me. The Last Ronin, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, we're getting a live action movie of this, rated R.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably for
the
gores.
It's
going
to be so many idiots bringing their kids anyway.
I know, right?
Ninja Turtles?
And
let them. 5-year-old.
Yeah. This is based on the comic book, The Last Ronin, which is out now. And the plot is basically all the Ninja Turtles except Michelangelo are dead. And
my boy Mikey.
This is Mikey working his way across the country to finally kill Shredder.
Yeah, like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So it's like Old Man Hawkeye. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Old Man Mikey.
Set in totalitarian future New York City. All the turtles and Splinter are dead. And one turtle managed to survive barely and vows to exact bloody vengeance. But this is rated R, and it's being produced by Walter Hamada, that turd.
Who's Walter Hamada?
He was at Warner Brothers and kind of screwed up a number of projects. Yeah, kind of screwed up things over there.
So I'm not excited for this anymore, is what you should be saying.
No, I think it'll be fine.
I think you can be excited.
His three ghost brothers
hopeful.
Are behind
How about that?
Him in the photo.
I know, isn't that so
be hopeful.
Sad?
I would be hopeful.
Tender?
I think I'm more excited for the video game coming out based on this property.
Mm. Yeah, me too. Although somebody was trying to tell me that they shut it down, but I'm like, no, not if they're making a movie of it.
I had not heard anything about
it. We don't like money. Shut down the video game.
Exactly. Yeah, Bug Hunter's right. He ran the DC division at Warner Brothers.
Oh, I hate him.
Hamada. Yeah.
Oh, you tell him, Tony.
That's right.
You tell him.
Hamada!
So,
yeah.
So just imagine, you know, Michelangelo seeking vengeance. I like the idea. It's mm-hmm. it's John Wick-y, turtly kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Tony, was that an Akira reference?
It was a Borderlands reference. Okay. Katagawa! Okay. So which might be an Akira's reference if you go further back.
A friend of mine who is a big Ninja Turtles fan is so super excited for this, and also about the concept of letting your fan base age as well. Like, we got that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie last year that was phenomenal for the kids. But mm-hmm. also, like, don't forget, there's so many Gen X and older millennial, older fans who want to see...
Just say geriatrics, Rebecca.
Geriatrics.
What?
Geriatric
what?
Fans.
Wait,
suddenly I'm geriatric.
I want to see their properties age thanks, up Sarah. With them.
No, me too. I'm also.
That's why X-Men 97 is working, because exactly. they said, mm-hmm. we're going to make this show for the people that watched the hot garbage cartoon back in the 90s.
Hey,
and,
now.
And want mm-hmm. something more cultured. Mine's it doesn't matter what we put in front of Tony, because obviously he'll enjoy it.
Gimme.
My stepkids are watching that super old like grainy X-Men, and they're loving it. So it's
really?
Kind of cool. Yeah,
that's
they
great.
Love it.
That's great. That's come great. On. Wow. You know what worked really well for that, though, is the Adventure Time sequel, aging up with the audience. Mm. Oh, man.
Fiona
and the cake one.
It's so
yeah.
good.
That's
so
true. Good. Another announcement made this week. Do we need this? A new Blair no. Witch movie.
Oh,
so
wow.
Can I just say, I heard this, and I'm just kind of like... Oh, gee. Because I remember when the first movie came out, it was right after I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is set in Western Maryland. So I had a bunch of people like, did this really happen? And I'm just kind of like...
Well, and that's the thing about the Blair Witch Project, though. You can never, ever, ever recreate the magic, the magic of the first movie. Hmm. Because people were like, oh, my God, this is real. Because it's like it paved the way for like found footage.
Yeah.
And like... Mm-hmm. There's just no way you can surpass the magnitude of the first one.
It is one of the most profitable movies of all time because it was made
really?
for $35,000.
It made
Whoa.
Me so sick.
Yeah.
That rules.
You don't like Shaky Cam?
Oh, I remember literally having the spins when I left the theater for that one.
Because it was so scary.
But no, because it was so dizzy making.
This is going to be a remake from what I can tell.
Oh.
So,
what sucks is it's Blumhouse, and I really love Blumhouse, and I love everything Blumhouse does, but like...
But if anybody can pull it off,
here's another thing,
you know?
Though. I mean, they can pull it... Blumhouse has a shot to pull it off. It's been 25 years since the original came out, so it is a generational gap now that of people who've never seen it. So I can see them pulling it off.
I don't know.
And making it work.
I feel like they broke the bottom of the barrel scraping so hard for this one.
Are they going to do it in found footage style, or are they going
to
do it in cinema?
It's all TikToks,
I'm sure it will be.
I think you actually probably just
hey, let's
nailed
do our
it.
Blair Witch dance.
Yeah.
Holy, you got him. Oh my God, you got him.
You got him.
They're already dead. Stop.
But now,
so Carrie, was it you guys on the morning show who talked about the reason we never saw the Blair Witch in the movie? Was that one of the trivia questions this week?
I know I've talked about it before. It was because it didn't look good on camera.
Yeah. Well,
that's
one
also,
of them.
Yeah.
But it's
but
scarier
it the cameraman
to not show
forgot
your
to turn.
Yeah.
The cameraman forgot to turn as well. Yeah, that was another thing.
It's so much scarier to not show.
Yeah.
I agree.
So agreed.
You're right. Yeah. The whole Andy Kaufman aspect of this thing I loved, because you went in completely fooled. You were convinced that this was real. And that worked on me and Gina. It scared the hell out of us. And then I kind of suspected, because I've always been, you know, being a student of Kaufman, I'm always looking for that.
You saw Spinal Tap.
Exactly. So anyway, but show me what you got. Another project we're getting. This is the sequel. Nope, not quite yet. Did I not put 28 years later in the?
You did not.
I did not.
Hold on,
okay.
I'll be so fast.
Sorry about that. It's just a real quick story. They're making 28 years later. Danny Boyle is going to helm the first follow-up movie, and he's talking to Nia DaCosta to direct it.
Oh.
And we all know she can do horror. With, you know, she directed Candyman.
That Candyman movie was bomb, yo.
Yeah, so anyway, that's all I had on that. You don't need to find anything on that. But let's now go to the story that will make Tony sad.
No, I'm excited for this because a new one. So here's the thing. New one doesn't take anything away from the old one, first
that's
of all.
True. That's true.
First of all. Second of all, if they actually choose to follow the book for this movie, it won't even feel anything like the movie, the original movie, because
what's
the book
the movie?
Is... Running Man. We're talking about Running Man. So,
how is the book different from the movie?
Like
so
in almost every
dancing,
aspect.
All the dancing.
I would say the only book that's less like the movie that was made out of is Starship Troopers.
Yes.
Well, so, this was the book was from 1982, and it was Richard Bachman, not Stephen King.
Yeah,
it was
Richard. It's just Stephen King's pen name.
Same
other pen
guy.
Name.
Same guy. Oh, is it a Stephen King?
Yes,
yes it is.
Because
everything
damn,
is a Stephen King.
I was like, okay, maybe I'll read this book, but if you're telling me it's a
Stephen King,
I'm not going to read it.
It has, I think, possibly the best ending Stephen King has ever done in a book.
Oh,
I loved it.
As opposed to Tommyknockers, 960 pages of cocaine-fueled rambling.
It's not scary. It's sci-fi dystopian.
It's political discourse.
It's really good. I loved it.
Well, I mean, we've got... first of all, Edgar Wright is directing and behind it. And Glenn Powell is going to star in it.
This tall drink of water.
Ooh.
Glenn Powell.
Who
oh
is
my.
This man? Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell.
Why does he look familiar? Is he in the new Twisters movie?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. You gotta
also
ride
in
it, baby.
Top Gun, Maverick, and Devotion.
Yes. Okay.
Did you? So I saw a trailer for a movie this week about the Blue Angels, and it's produced by Glenn Powell. Like, he got that Top Gun juice in him.
Wow. Man,
like,
I guess Cruise got to him good.
Yeah, I'll say. Anyway, so there you go. It's a remake of The Running Man. Yeah, show me what you got.
Yeah, it could be good.
I mean, you know? It's not going to have that. What was the fat guy in the electric suit? What was his name?
Oh, he was a wrestler, Tony. Wasn't he? Was that? Freak, I got to look it up now.
And he sings. You
yes.
Know?
I never saw it.
Oh,
did you see it, really, Lee?
Nope.
Dude, it's so terrible. You got to watch it. It's it's amazing.
It's got Richard Dawson.
Yep.
Well, yeah, so did Family Feud. Well, I didn't watch that either.
It's got one of the best lines delivered from Arnold Schwarzenegger of all time.
He gets
even better than that, Lee. He gets Richard Dawson on the phone because he's the one running the game show. Yeah. And he says, Richard Dawson's like, I got to go because my lobster's here or whatever, you know, and I'm hungry. And Arnold yells into the phone, well, I hope you left enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it in your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
And then I will pull out your lobster and I will eat it in front of your family.
For all of the Schwarzenegger silliness, also, Dawson's a good villain in this.
He really is.
Yes.
He is, you know. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Dune Part 2 is going to be available for you at home next week.
That's very stupid because they're so stupid. But also, it's not only going to Max like way too soon, right? But they are also extending their IMAX run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smart.
Well, it's going to be available to rent on April 16th. It's not going to Max right away. Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Google Play, Fandango at Home, all those places. The physical media collectors can mark May 14th on their calendars for...
I'll buy it.
...the Blu-ray. So you can refill your popcorn bucket and sit and watch it at home. Speaking of the popcorn bucket...
Sarah has the popcorn bucket, by the way.
You do?
I do.
Well,
you do?
Speaking of the...
No, I need it.
Speaking of the... This story was earlier this week about the popcorn bucket. Thank you. One of the people from AMC, the movie chain executive, said, you guys ruined the popcorn bucket.
Oh.
I think, honestly...
You sexualized a perfectly good popcorn bucket.
No one sexualized it.
Listen, here's the thing. I think revolutionizing the popcorn bucket and making it a gimmick for every big movie that comes out is such a fabulous idea.
It makes people want to buy them.
Because you know how theaters make their money? It's not by selling tickets. It's by
concessions.
And so getting these novelty popcorn buckets, I do think is wasteful. Same thing with like Taylor Swift releasing 8 8 billion different varieties of a single.
Well, oh, she's done her turn. She has turned on.
Done my businesswoman, Rebecca.
Okay, so this is the AMC chief content officer Elizabeth Frank. She was interviewed for Variety about the bucket. She says that, now here's again some of that Hollywood bullshit doublespeak. We continue to learn and evolve. We would never have imagined this Dune thing. We would have never created it knowing it would be celebrated or mocked. Was the tongue firmly in cheek there?
I think so. But I think the bug hunter has a great idea here. What's for it? Alien Romulus for the bucket.
Oh.
That. Brilliant.
Oh, an egg.
Cut the check right there.
An egg that opens up.
Yeah. You know how I was talking earlier about how somebody claims to have found the Deadpool bucket? I can share that with you if you'd like to see it.
Sure.
Is it for realsies?
Oh, I don't think it's for realsies.
I don't think it's for realsies.
But if that's what it is.
Oh, my. No, that's
amazing.
That's fake, but
pretty
I love
good.
It.
Yeah.
If that's fake, not I love what it's it. Going to be, that's what it should be.
Okay, wow. So also, there is this concept for the alien popcorn bucket that I would like to share.
Okay, go ahead, Rebecca.
The bucket from Gutter Popcorn.
See, if you're just listening to the podcast, you're missing all of this on YouTube. Sorry.
You can't like really tell. It's very small.
You can't put any popcorn in there.
But does the little top give you popcorn?
Off, yeah. Oh, yeah. Top comes off. Huh?
Yeah, it's like the Barbie car and the Fast and the Furious car popcorn buckets that you could get at AMC.
Yeah.
I personally think that the alien popcorn bucket should just be a reproduction of John Hurt's chest and the popcorn drops out of it.
Yeah, I love
it. It should be Michael Fassbender's head that you can like reach in through the neck.
And you know, the baby xenomorph actually does run across and knock over a bowl of popcorn on the table of the Nostromo.
Just be a reproduction of that.
Oh my God.
Of that bowl.
Space popcorn. It's probably delicious.
All right.
Gotta be.
Let's find out what y'all consumed this week. I'm sure we all saw Fallout, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched one episode.
I watched two.
Same.
I also watched two.
I watched this many. Yeah.
How many total are there, Sarah?
Eight.
There are eight.
Okay. So, we all loved it.
Mm-hmm.
At least what we saw of it. I will say this. You guys have been telling me I should be playing this game for years.
You should.
And you're right. It's got everything about it. I love
Terry,
it.
Terry, for us, it is aesthetic porn.
Exactly.
It is our vibe.
And it's the only thing that has ever done Adam Punk justice. And yes. Terry, you need to play New Vegas because of where it's set.
Mm-hmm. I agree. However,
Vegas.
New Vegas is very difficult to play because of how shitty it is.
I tried replaying New Vegas a couple months ago, and I was like, "Ooh, I can't do this."
Yeah.
Finally,
my favorite game, and it's hard.
Someone acknowledges something I've been saying for years, that New Vegas is hard to play. It's not a
the story's
fluid game
awesome,
by any
but like
stretch.
It sucks.
So, so Sue and I are watching the first episode because she wanted to see, and it's the birthday party scene.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And there's the TV. It's black and white, but yet there's futuristic technology.
Retrofuturism.
And there's Ray Punk. And the soundtrack is amazing. And she goes, "Oh, they made this show for you, didn't they?"
And I'd like to give you a little bit of lore. And maybe Tony can correct me on this. In that timeline, they invested more into robotics in the 60s or whatever than they did with.
Like the space race, maybe?
Microelectronics and things
microelectronics.
Like that.
So everything went more robotics route.
Robotics,
you know? So,
and they miniaturized and stabilized fusion as well, nuclear fusion. Mm-hmm. That's why you can power a robot in this universe because it has a mini fusion reactor in it.
So Dr. Brown was right.
Yes. So, I mean, the first episode, so much promise here. I loved everything about it. Can't wait to dive into the rest of them.
Gavin in the chat's right. Play Fallout 4. I think you could probably handle Fallout 4.
I would say just go straight to Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 is great. And actually, Fallout 76 has been fun since they started fixing it.
Oh, it's
really
much better. I am very interested
in that world, but I don't want to play with other people. I just want to play by myself.
Let me be by myself.
I'm the same, Sarah. I'm the same. I don't like to go online.
So if you can do single player, I would try it.
Yeah. April 27th, I think.
Is the patch?
Yeah, the patch. For Fallout 4, so it'll look better on the newer systems. Carrie, did you buy an Xbox Series X yet? You
it's
turd.
Okay, Carrie. Invest in PlayStation.
I'm an Xbox person.
Okay, sorry.
Carrie, are you really an Xbox person if you haven't even upgraded since the Xbox 360?
Leave me alone.
Not fired.
He doesn't even have an Xbox. He's still playing on his Dreamcast.
And he's playing that snowboard game that we were all into back
in 2001.
I'm here for the Dreamcast references.
I'm playing my GameCube, all right?
I love it.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Fallout 4 is beautiful. Yeah. Story-wise,
We're going to talk more Fallout TV series in the after party. So geekshowgotthiscovered.com.
I'm so happy to see Deadass Jackie from Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Not being dead.
But she also portrays that just like Midwestern naivete, like so beautiful.
I didn't see Yellow Jackets. Who is that?
And she's British.
The lead Lucy, in Yellow Jackets, she rules.
Yeah,
they do a casting with her in Yellow Jackets that did such a bamboozle that made me finish the first season. It was so good.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna spoil it, but so good.
Great big eyes too.
Watch us in the after party.
Carrie, you, I'm not gonna spoil a damn thing, but in episode 4. They introduce one of your favorite actors
who does
the voice of most of the robots in the series.
Sarah texted me.
She's like, there's a voice that you will love. And I'm like, oh, how intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember reading this news on this. Yeah.
I'm excited. Yep. All right.
It's good. It's so good.
All right. So, and then we all saw X-Men 97 this week, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't watch the show, but I watched the scene that everyone's talking about.
Oh, you got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we'll spoil it in the after party.
Bait and switch, man.
I was 15
minutes of shiny, happy people followed by, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah. I was
great. Sorry, YouTube. Were demonetized.
No, not anymore.
I was completely blown away, and the way that they started the whole thing was perfect.
Shiny, happy mutants holding hands.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to it in the after party. Who wants to go first with what we consumed?
Let me jump in right there, because I want to do two things with this.
First, I
want to do a quick rest in peace, rest in power.
Yes.
Trina Robbins, who is a pioneer in comics, and especially the promoting women in comics, died at 85 this week. She is also the first woman to draw Wonder Woman in a Wonder Woman comic and in DC Comics, if I remember correctly. And that wasn't until 1986. The character has been around since 1941.
Holy moly.
Just like that sense.
She did a book with Kurt Busiek called Wonder Woman Forgotten Legends, which they've collected. You can find it on all of your various print places. But 1986... she was an Eisner Award winner in 1983. She was known for not just promoting women in comics and just the medium of comics in general, also really big in underground comics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've not heard of her, take a look. Do yourself a favor. Find out what she went through, what she was about as an illustrator, as just a pioneer.
She wrote an autobiography.
Yes.
As well.
I thought I had it in here, and I may not have caught the title of it, but yes. She also wrote one of the first serious looks of women in the history of women in the world of comics with Kat Ironwood called Women in the Comics.
That's one, as well.
So check that out. And also, for those of you who are fans of this character, the classic Vampirella costume that everybody is used to seeing, the bikini-esque...
More like sexy-rella.
The Borat-esque outfit. She designed the basics of that, and then Frank Frazetta did a little bit of modification on it. But that was her design.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you have a chance, dive in, see who, find out who she was and what she was about, and just, take a moment to go, that's amazing.
And what was her name
Thank
again?
Thank you for sharing that.
Trina Robbins.
Trina Robbins. So look for her.
Okay. So really quick, the rest of what I consumed. Still working on my morning book, The Galaxy and the Ground Within. Comics wise.
Yes.
Thunder, Thundercats Ho.
Ho!
This is kind of a retelling of the story, reintroducing the characters and introducing the mutants, Mumm-Ra. And there seems to be a few different interactions and relationships in this book than we were used to from the comic. But it's, you know, if you want to turn your brain off and go back to childhood fun, this is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Bamra, speaking
of X-Men 97 2, issue 2 just came out. And this kind of leads up to the first episode again. They introduce Sabretooth shows up in this one. The Marauders show up in here. A couple of other 90s familiar characters for villains come in. And we find out when Scott finds out he's about to be a father. Mm-hmm. Keeping things eccentric, Ultimate X-Men number 2.
I see what you did there.
So, I was thinking.
I like that art.
Is that Peach?
It's Peach Momoko, yes.
Okay, it's Peach Momoko, yep.
And it's not your standard X-Men. They're following Hisako, I can't remember her last name, Ichiro, Armor, who you may remember from X-Men, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Astonishing X-Men. Mm-hmm. She was like the youngest member on that team. And another character named Maystorm, who has weather control powers similar to Storm, but this is set in Japan, and it's set in the current Ultimate Universe where evil Reed Richards has recreated the world without superheroes. So there's that. And as a Superman fan, this is the next big storyline that's coming out of DC, House of Brainiac, where Brainiac is like, you know what, I've had it with not getting my way with this. So he basically clones Lobo over and over and over again and goes, oh, look, Metropolis, and drops a bunch of Lobo clones and Brainiac robots into Metropolis and goes, I'll just wait.
It's my Lobo army. Wow.
It is a Lobo army, and it is delightful.
Oh. Well, can't Lobo be basically cloned from any piece of his body that you just leave basically alone long enough?
Basically, any drop of blood, yeah. But they
it just grows into a new Lobo.
At some point over the years, they kind of nerfed that. To have them come back with this is just like, oh, okay. And have Brainiac behind it is kind of genius. And it looks like they're doing a variation of the Brainiac-Luthor team again. And I'm waiting to see how that pans out. Mm, okay. But there's that. Movie-wise, did not see anything theatrically. But in keeping with my love of Donnie Yen, we watched a movie from 2000, I believe it was 7, called Raging Fire. And it was just like, just do all the wushu. Just do all the wushu and all the Wing Chun. And in toy news, a couple of months ago, I bought the Fantastic Four box set from Mezco. And last week, my Reed decided to lose a foot peg on one of his legs. I'm like, we'll just order another one. So I bought the second one.
That one seems taller.
This is the second body that came with him. But I was able to pull the peg back out from the boot that it got stuck in, attach it back to the body. So now I have two Reeds.
Wait, isn't that how this other universe got started? So bad?
Isn't that how Marvel Zombies got started?
Wait a minute.
Careful with what you're playing with there, sir.
Fire.
Who's next? Oh, I'll Rebecca's go next. Got movies, I know.
I do have movies. Okay, well, so first, before I mention a movie, I want to talk about a book I read last week called Out There Screaming. I read this on the recommendation from Jay Whitaker. It is an anthology of short stories. It's a curation of black horror short stories. Jordan Peele edited it, put it together, and he has a lovely introduction at the beginning. Anyway, Out There Screaming, fantastic book. Movies. Do you guys remember before Godzilla X Kong: A New Empire came out, I was like, I am this movie's biggest hater.
Yes.
And all the times you've said it since.
And all the times I've said it since. I sat down in my seat this week. I tried to convince my friends to go see it in D-Box, but they were cowards. Mm-mm. And so sat in my seat, and I was hooting and hollering and fist pumping the entire time. This movie is so stupid. I hope they make 100 more of them. This is my new Fast and the Furious franchise.
I was going to say, this is how you talk about Fast and the Furious.
It's so stupid. I loved every second of it. When there's not people on screen, it's just sounds, right? And I know that sounds like a stoner thought, but it is truly just monster sounds when there's not humans on screen. The humans are there for the bare minimum amount of time.
That's how it should be in these movies.
And
we're not fantasy people.
No. Dan Stevens is in this, and I think he and Brian Tyree Henry, thank God for these two actors, because they are so phenomenal. I think Dan Stevens should be a Doctor Who. I think he would make a fantastic Doctor Who.
Doctor Doom.
Or Carrie wants him to be Doctor Doom.
Some sort of doctor.
Yeah. But 3 out of 5. It's not a perfect movie, obviously. But
I thought you were going for a 5 by the way you were talking about it earlier.
And also, spoiler alert, the people of Rio de Janeiro, sorry, you all died. Like,
they died in Starship Troopers, too.
There's just so much destruction.
Too much carnival, man. Too much carnival.
I hates Rio, apparently.
I don't want to spoil why Godzilla is pink in this one. Just know it's for a stupid reason.
Excellent.
Stupid or good or fun?
It's stupid.
Look,
I'll tell you.
Pride Month is fast approaching.
Did he get into the flamingo food again?
I'll tell you in the after party. Stay tuned to the after party for some Godzilla X Kong : A New Empire. Spoiler talk. And then the new release for this week, Civil War by Alex Garland. Alex Garland, you know him from, he did Ex Machina, Annihilation.
No. He ruined Annihilation.
No, he didn't.
Ruined? What do you mean? Annihilation was great.
Well, for those of us that didn't read the book that it's based off of, it was an amazing movie.
Oh, it's based on a book?
I did read the book it was based off of, and I hated the movie.
Sarah and I are actually doing our own fun little book club where we're
doing a book club
Annihilation.
For Annihilation.
So here's the thing about Civil War. I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. I think it is intentionally being mismarketed based on the concept of it, just to get butts in seats, and it's for all the wrong reasons. The you know, trying to market this movie off the idea of a modern day United States Civil War, wild. Got to see what that's about. Why do they have Texas and California teaming up? That's insane. Not really what the movie is about. And I think a lot of people are going to find themselves disappointed.
I paid $12 for this shit.
Exactly though. There is a reason also, I think they're marketing it, they're putting a big push towards seeing it in IMAX, and it's not because of the visuals, it's because of the sound. It's extremely unsettling. Alex Garland is a master at making you feel unease. He does it in all his movies.
I agree with that.
And he does it really well in Civil War, but Civil War, at the end of the day, is a story about journalists and the power of the press.
The right-wingers will hate that.
Wow.
The right-wingers are going to hate it. And especially, too, because this movie hit something in me that I didn't realize I needed to see, which was female mentorship in journalism.
Oh.
Because I have been in a journalism-adjacent field ever since I was, like, 15 or 16. And I can name one female mentor I've ever had. And even then, it was barely, right? Like, it was so fascinating to me to see the concept of Kirsten Dunst mentoring a younger female photojournalist.
And that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. I think people are going to be disappointed based on
but
how the film
call
was
it
marketed.
Ladies taking pictures, because no
one can see it. No, they can't. That's not
going to
sell
though?
Tickets. And I think you can even see it too. Like, Alex Garland was on The Daily Show last week doing an interview for the movie, and Alex Garland has even said that he doesn't want to be a filmmaker anymore because he's fallen out of love with filmmaking, and so he's probably going to go back to just screenwriting. I feel it in his interviews where he's just not super jazzed about the way this movie's being marketed. And maybe it's me projecting my ideas onto what I'm seeing, but like,
you've never done that before. I don't know.
I've never done that. But like, I give it a 4 out of 5. A lot of people, like, when you do see it, you do leave feeling a certain way. And good. Like, I think you should. Like, this movie should open up a dialogue. Kirsten Dunst has been very vocal about this in her interviews leading up to this movie about how this should make you think, right? Like, this isn't exactly what's possibly going to happen, but like, and the movie doesn't hold your hand and explain to you exactly what is happening. It does one of my favorite storytelling tactics where it shows you rather than tells you. Like, you can pick up on things throughout the movie and understand what's going on,
we
but it doesn't
not
exactly
need to be explained to.
Yeah.
Now tell us about the tennis movie.
Oh, the horny tennis movie.
Threesome movie. Yeah.
By the way, Civil War, I gave 4 out of 5. But the horny tennis movie, Challengers. Would you guys believe me if I told you that this is Zendaya's first leading movie debut? This is her first time being a lead in a feature film. Mm.
In a film?
Yes.
Because she's the lead in Euphoria. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I know this. I know this to be fact. But at the same time, Zendaya has such a presence that I'm like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, she's amazing.
She feels she's like amazing. She's
You're telling me she hasn't been the lead in every movie I've seen since like 8 years ago?
Yeah, she was the lead in Spider-Man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she was the lead in Spider-Man. This movie is fantastic. Luca, oh my God, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but same guy who did Call Me By Your Name, the new Suspiria remake, Bones and All. Just a fantastic writer-director. And the thing about this movie, it is so freaking good. They're also really pitching this movie in IMAX, and if you're gonna see an IMAX movie, it should be Challengers. There are a lot of visuals that are catered to the male gaze, but I think it's not gross. I think
what about
it's very,
the female gaze?
Oh, the female gaze. Josh O'Connor has these thighs, and it was the very first thing I pointed out. I was like, look at the size of this man's thighs. They are incredible. But the movie itself, awesome character movie. Like, tennis, I've never ever cared about tennis.
No one cares.
Until I saw Challengers, and I was like, damn, this is a crazy sport. And really makes you care about the sport, but also it focuses more on like the friendship between these two leading men and how Zendaya is like intertwined with all of this. And it just a stunning movie. The character stuff in it is fantastic. And the way it ends, a lot of people have an issue with like the last 2 minutes of the movie, but I think it's a 5-star movie. And it comes out this upcoming week, or next week, actually, April 26th. So it's a little early for me to review it, but
right. One day before B-Day.
Yeah, one day before my
birthday.
Okay,
I do have a question. Completely unrelated to everything else. Mm-hmm. Zendaya has a kid in this movie, if I'm not mistaken. Lily?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
How was she? I actually know that. I know her, the actor.
You know
the young
kid
who played that actor.
Cool. Oh, really?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's in
so
it for like...
So how was she?
She's in it for like 5 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. Like...
Okay.
She shows up. She's there to make you understand that Zendaya is a mom.
Okay.
Like...
Okay. Yeah. Right. Fair enough.
Tony.
Well, X-Men 97, amazing. Fallout, amazing. Constellation. I finished Constellation on Apple TV+.
Oh, how did it end?
Let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
If this doesn't get a second season, I will not recommend watching the first season.
Oh.
That's what I have to say about that. Sure. Because it was awesome, but man, they leave you on some serious dangly cliffhangers.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And so it, but it was really good. So they better get us a second season. Watched a little bit of this. So. That's right. Make it so. Watched a little bit of this show on Amazon Prime with Alan Tudyk called Con Man. You guys ever watched
so
this?
Good. Oh, I've so funny.
Trailers,
it's freaking funny.
So funny.
And it's little like 11-minute episodes, 11, 12-minute episodes, easy to digest, and just hilarious. Really, really
it's,
good.
It's kind of like loosely based on him and his friendships with Nathan Fillion and what it's like being a former sci-fi star going to conventions.
Yeah,
going to sci-fi conventions.
For convention man, not for like con artist.
I remember now.
Very
it's,
funny show.
It's way funny. Mm-hmm. And then... I did my homework finally, Rebecca, and watched Ricky Stenicki.
Finally. I don't want to talk about it anymore, though.
Okay. Moving along.
It was
funny. I enjoyed that one.
Should I see it? It has been on my list.
It's fine. You don't
it's
have
worth
to.
Watching it's for John Cena. Everything else that's, is wasted
I do love
space.
John
exactly.
Cena.
That's the thing. If you're a John Cena fan, this is 100% worth watching.
Okay. Like I think I talked about this last week about how if you made this movie in 2002, it would be a lot dirtier and a lot raunchier. But because they made it in 2023, it is so clean and it ends way too neatly.
The one Farrelly brother that made this movie Is definitely in his 70s now, and like, well, maybe I want to
push the envelope,
push this back a little bit. Besides, Jenny McCarthy couldn't suck the chrome off of that tail head.
And then, for whatever reason, we watched MIB International. Did you guys ever watch this?
The one
with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson?
Yeah,
I did not. No,
it's actually pretty good. I really enjoyed. No,
it is.
It's an enjoyable movie.
It's not the first MIB. By any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's definitely leaps and bounds above MIB 2.
Yeah. I like MIB 3, though. I thought
that was
good.
MIB 3? Yeah.
I liked MIB 3. Yeah. What's your point? Bring it. What you got?
That's right.
What
you
got? Come on.
Get her, Rob. Bring it. Get her. Yeah, MIB International was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I enjoyed that one. All right. So, anyway.
Lee, what you got?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, we watched Fallout. Walty Goggins. Thanks, Walty Goggy.
So he did a good dogs.
Job. But you so know what? Good. He's not the best part. He really isn't. He's great. He's fantastic. But it's a fantastic cast all the way around. So
it's
I can't remember. I can't remember the lead's name. I'm really sorry, Dead Ash Jackie. But
Lucy is the character's name. Ella Purnell is the actress.
Ella Purnell.
She was the voice of. She was the voice of Jinx in the League of Legends cartoon that we watched. Oh. So that we love so much.
Okay.
Finished Physical 100. I really. Actually upset that the last competition of Physical 100 was so damned boring.
Are you talking about season 2?
Yeah, season 2.
Oh,
so
we got to catch up.
There
on
was
that.
Just like they were just like, "Oh, we're going to push things through mud for 74 years."
It's like a human tractor pull.
You know, here's the thing about Physical 100. If they didn't show the same reaction from the people watching four times, it would be a 20-minute program.
Ooh, so, that's true. You are correct.
Yeah. All right. Before I talk about X-Men 97, I was surprised about Damsel.
Oh, is it good?
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
Another dissenting opinion from Lieutenant Commander Frost.
I have a hard time with Netflix movies and Millie Bobby Brown in general.
Okay. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I didn't bring my Millie Bobby Brown luggage. I brought my fantasy movie luggage.
Sure.
What I loved is, okay, she was all right. She did her Millie Bobby Brown thing. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with Millie Bobby Brown is I always hear Maya Rudolph doing her Whitney Houston, but it's Millie Bobby Brown. Millie Bobby Brown.
Bobby. Anyway,
Anyway, it's not her. It's the dragon is voiced by the old lady from. Thanks, brain. I really enjoy your brain.
Oh, Roseanne. It's Roseanne Barr,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
It's Roseanne
is
Barr.
Is it really?
I knew it.
No, it's not. It's
oh, okay. God. Don't do that.
No, I know. It's Robin Wright. Isn't Robin Wright in this?
Tony, don't damn because you, Tony. It's going to make for great theater. What's my sci-fi show with the Rosinante that I love so much?
Expanse.
The Expanse.
The Indian lady from The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
Expanse.
She pulls all the strings in the political strings in that show.
Shora Eggleduchlu?
She's awesome.
Yes. She's the voice of
Shora
the dragon.
Shora
also started watching
So now I've got to watch this movie because I would listen to her read the phone book.
She's got the craziest voice. It's awesome.
She's
If it was Roseanne Barr, I was going to stay away from this because you got Flat Earther Millie Bobby and that crazy Roseanne Barr.
Not only Flat Earther Millie Bobby Brown, engaged to Bon Jovi's son, Millie Bobby Brown.
So, that's too many things.
The thing with her.
I think she's an anti-vaxxer.
She's still a baby. I have hope that she will one day wake up and go, oh, I'm being fed a line of bullshit. Now in 10 years, I'll be like, whatever, but she's still a baby. Anyway.
All right. Okay.
I just looked at the cast of this movie, and I'm just like, it's Ray Winstone, Angela Bassett, Robin Wright.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. You've got some good cast.
And
Angela.
It's not a bad cast, and there's this phenomenal thing where knights in plate mail show up to take on the dragon. You don't wear metal to take on a fire-breathing dragon. Plus,
it's too hot.
This thing shoots napalm out of its mouth, and I kind of love it. Like, you can tell how fire breath works in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So I enjoyed it, despite Millie Bobby Brown.
All right.
So
okay. Every little step she took?
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
X-Men 97.
That episode, among other things, Lee, was a giant Easter egg central. Holy cow. Dazzler.
Rebecca. Let's break it down in the after party.
We're going to talk about it later, but I have to say two things.
Yes.
First being that this has taken me all the way back to stop doing live action. Just give me the animation. Because Magneto does some things in this that no one... no one in Hollywood has the gravitas to pull
the
off.
The cojones.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Magneto's been in a train in live action before, but and also,
yeah, that was cool.
If you want to know what's going on with these Wild Sentinels, I would recommend that you get the Marvel Unlimited app or go get the trade of Eve is for Extinction by Grant Morrison, because that's the storyline they're doing right now. It is the mutant genocide. And if they actually pull off the shriveled bald prune that pulled it off, I will lose my damned mind. So,
even though Bo DiMeo has since been booted from the show, he put out a really nice statement about this week's episode that you should track down and read.
Mm-hmm. And all the little fanboys that are screaming that he needs to be reinstated, you have to also recognize the power of an NDA and realize that no one knows why he was fired. And just
that's the thing.
Saying.
That's part of what his statement did to me. I was like, dang, I really want to know why he was fired now.
Yeah. So relax, fanboys. There's still other good writers in the world.
That's true.
He's not the only one that read X-Men and said,
We should get Zack Snyder on there.
Sarah,
shut your whore mouth.
who, by the way, the second part of his movie's coming out like next week or something.
I can't wait.
And Rebel Moon, the other cheek.
And Netflix is just basically doing their contractual obligation promoting it.
Oh, it's just bare minimum, huh?
Did the first one crash?
I think it did, yeah.
Because I kind of liked it.
But also Zack Snyder's interview on the Joe Rogan Show of all places, I don't think helped his case.
Sarah, what did you consume?
I've been consuming a lot more than I have in many months recently. Mm-hmm. I watched Three Body Problem, which I did not like.
I struggled with it too.
I struggled with it. I rewatched the first season of The Expanse. My boyfriend had never seen it before. Perfect. So, and the books are also perfect. I think it is the best sci-fi story.
Better than Galactica.
Best sci-fi story I've seen.
Is
Ronald D. Moore involved here at all?
No, better writers.
Whoa, what are you doing?
You can't come back to the Space Show if you're going to be like this.
He's just
I'll come on and talk about The Expanse.
Okay.
Perfect show. Great. Would recommend it to anyone. Books also incredible. I think they're the best written series of this century in terms of sci-fi.
This is what happens when you go to George R. R. Martin's D&D group. You get paired up with another guy and you write the best sci-fi series of all time.
Yeah, and they pump out books once every year instead of having to wait for 19 years.
Did they pull all of George R. R. Martin's desire to write away from him while they were playing D&D?
God.
They siphoned it up lich style.
I've also been watching The Regime, which...
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Everybody's take on this has been
I want to see what happens. It is kind of like... wacky, I guess. This brutal Russian murderer dude is like being the queen's advisor, and he just walks around like
advising,
checking for mold, basically, because she's a hypochondriac, and so his job is to like baby her, and then he realizes, oh, I can control this person and feed her all of these ideas. I think we're probably halfway through it. It is interesting, but it also is like
But Sarah, thank you, by the way, for brutal Russian murder dude. Thank you.
Is there any magic?
You're welcome. That's a gift. That's my gift to you.
Is there any magic or science fiction involved?
None.
I'm out.
None
just
whatsoever.
Mold.
Yeah. Just
wait.
Mold.
There's okay. There's mold.
That one. You, all of Ethan got the science fiction magic. What else? Fallout, obviously.
Yes.
I also have restarted playing Fallout 4, even though I hate it. I am trying to make myself. Give it a chance and finish the game.
What makes Fallout 4 really good, in my opinion, is forget about the main quest. Forget about, oh, this settlement needs you. Forget about that.
I hate The Sims. I hate the Sims aspect.
Just go explore. It's a really good game.
And that's what I'm doing. I just got to the Witchcraft Museum, and then I realized, oh, shit, I'm not strong enough to do this right now. Gotta level up. Yeah, gotta go. we're watching... Shogun.
Shogun's
very
cool.
Good. Yeah. Loving it. And then, we're also watching Manhunt, which is very interesting, actually. The most recent episode last week was pretty good. And
what's Manhunt?
It's about finding John Wilkes Booth, who shot Lincoln.
Oh, didn't they find him right away?
I think he's dead.
They find him like after 11 days, so he is dead.
Oh, period piece.
I mean,
he's the one.
It's fine. It is just like, oh, what happened to this historical stuff we were probably taught? But then I don't know if you're looking for something. But
all right,
that's it.
We'll talk more about Fallout and X-Men in the after party, but the one thing that I consumed this week made me very happy. I think it's going to make Lee very happy as well. You remember when you were a kid? The little the little golden books?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember those.
I have one still.
Well, how about this one?
Oh, my. That's wow. Made for Harry specifically.
It is.
And I'm going to spoil it for you.
No! Oh, no.
He was on Earth the whole time?
He was on Earth the whole time. The artwork in here, it's perfect. It tells the story of the first Planet of the Apes movie. It really does.
And then they cut out his throat.
Make one of Alien.
I think they have an
there's
A's
an
for
Alien one.
Well, hang on. Can you see that right there?
Oh, yeah, gosh, there it is.
A is for Alien.
A is for Alien.
And then there's for Xenomorph, obviously.
Then there's they really make a Behind the Green Door with Marilyn Chambers, little golden
I know, right? I know.
Sorry, only old guys are going to get that joke.
Wow.
Let me see if they show the whole cut. No, they skip that part, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
In the little golden book.
Boo, they cowards.
They skip the part where they give them lobotomies, although they're...
Oh, no!
You know, he does land with them, but the whole lobotomy thing is missing.
Yeah. Surprise.
Anyway, so
this is conditioning. They don't want our children to know about lobotomies.
Watch Sucker Punch.
There you go.
Wop wop.
Watch the director's cut. It is a whole thing.
I forgot to mention I am going to see Civil War tonight.
Oh, good.
So I will let Rebecca know.
I'm going to a movie next week. I already got tickets.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go watch Henry Cavill go kill Nazis.
This movie looks so fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that on Tuesday.
And my wife was so excited. I said, "You want to go watch Henry Cavill kill Nazis?" And she's like, "There's two things I love: Henry Cavill and watching Nazis get killed."
Also, Alan Ritchson is there. Big man, little glasses. Yeah, big man, little glasses.
She doesn't know about that part yet.
Well, she's never watched. Hear me? Can she?
Surprise!
Yeah,
it's gonna be a big surprise for her. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, everybody who was live in chat. We appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. And we're going to take a short break and then head over to the after party. Geek Show got this covered, where we're going to spill Fallout and X-Men 97.
Join us.
All of it. So live long and prosper, bitches.
Bye.
Bye.